Welcome to Torah Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Mira Ozarowski, and today we will be studying Sefer Tehillim, Perek 83, Pei Gimel. We have now reached the final Perek of the Mizmarim of Asaf. We have journeyed together with Asaf on a theological journey over the course of many Prakim. Let's review what we have learned. Asaf's journey begins in Tehillim 73, where he struggles with a crisis of faith, questioning why the wicked prosper while the righteous suffer. As a leader of the Jewish people, he nearly loses faith, but finally finds clarity through mentors, the Mikdash, and his Nebuah, realizing that true security lies in closeness to Hashem. In Perek 74, Ayin Dalet, Asaf goes on a mission to spread what he has learned to the people, using the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash as a national example of suffering. He teaches the people that Hashem's justice is not always immediate, but can be understood by recalling past salvations. In Perek 75, he reassures the people that Hashem's justice is inevitable, even if it is delayed. Perek 76, Ayin Vav, illustrates this with Sancheriv's downfall, proving that Hashem punishes the wicked at the precise right time, creating a Kiddush Hashem. Perek 77, Ayin Zayin, acknowledges emotional struggles with faith. Though Asaf understands Hashem's justice intellectually, he still despairs. By recalling Yitziat Mitzrayim, he regains hope. Perek 78 provides a history lesson, showing that suffering often results from our own actions. While Hashem is always there, we must remain faithful to Him. Perek 79 mourns the Korban, adding introspection, acknowledging Am Yisrael's role in their suffering while pleading for an end to it. In Perek 80, Pei, the focus shifts from mourning to tefillah, asking Hashem for restoration. Perek 81, Pei Aleph, responds by emphasizing that redemption requires tshuva, listening to Hashem's voice, just as we listen to the shofar. Perek 82 rebukes corrupt leaders, warning that they will be held accountable and stressing the responsibility of leadership in upholding justice. And now, finally, we have reached the concluding Perek, Chapter 83, Pei Gimel, which is a passionate plea for Hashem to act against the enemies of Am Yisrael. Many of you may be familiar with it, as it is often recited during times of war, and many Rabbanim have recommended saying it over the past year and a half since the beginning of the current war. The Perek begins with Psukim Aleph to He, 1-5, with an urgent appeal for Hashem not to remain silent in the face of Israel's enemies. Elokim, Hashem, Al Damilach, do not keep silent. Al Techarash, do not be quiet. Ve'al Tishkokel, and do not be quiet, God. We see here that the cry contains three synonyms for silence, expressing the immense fear that B'nai Yisrael are experiencing due to the schemes of their neighboring nations. The Dat Mikra talks about the Shlosha Lashonot Nirzafim L'Zmama, three different words that are used to describe silence. We have Al Damilach, Al Techarash, Ve'al Tishkokel. From this terror emerges a great outcry. Is it possible that Hashem will remain silent and do nothing to save His people at this time? Pasuk Bet, Ki hinei oyvecha yehamyun, for behold, your enemies are raging, they're making a commotion. Umisanecha nasu rosh, and those who hate you have raised their head. The Malbim explains that oyvecha, your enemies, refers to those who hate Israel. Those who are raging against us in war are actually oyvecha, your enemies. They're really fighting against you, Hashem. This verse expresses the idea that attacks on Israel are not just political or military. They're actually a rebellion against Hashem Himself. In Psukim Gimel Tehei, Asaf vividly portrays the schemes of Israel's enemies, using simple yet chilling words to describe their plot. The nations join together in an alliance, determined to destroy Israel. Asaf quotes their exact words, leaving no doubt about their intent. Amru, they said, Lechu v'nachidei migoy, come, let us obliterate them as a nation. V'lo yizacher shem Yisrael od, so that the name of Israel will no longer be remembered. He then lists 11 surrounding nations that have conspired against Israel from all sides. Yet this alliance is not merely an attack on Israel. It is, in essence, an act of rebellion against Hashem Himself. Pasukei kinoatzu leiv yachta, for they have consulted together with one heart, alecha brit yichrotu, they form an alliance against you, Hashem. The Malbim explains why it is that other nations are always so determined to destroy Am Yisrael. He states that their goal is to erase the very name of Israel. Shem Zeh Mora Al Shenoagim Lamala Min HaTeva. The name of Israel signifies their supernatural existence. V'sheim Mushkachim Me'Hashem. And that they have Hashem's special hashkacha, special protection over them. Their attack is not just against Israel, but against Hashem's presence in this world, which is revealed through his people. The Malbim further explains that while on the surface these various enemies seem to have different motives, the ones that are closer by fear Israel or seek to expand their borders, while the distant ones desire spoils or plunder, at their core, they are united in a single purpose. They come with one heart and one counsel. They have one common goal. Their alliance is ultimately fueled by a deep-seated envy of the way Hashem's presence is manifest through Israel. Thus, their battle is not merely against the nation, but against the divine mission Israel represents. Pesukim Vav Tetet 6-9. Asaf proceeds to list the enemy nations that have united against Israel. Oalei Edom v'Yishmaelim, Moab v'Higrim, Gival v'Amon v'Amalek, Palesher im Yoshvei Tzor, Gam Ashur Nilva imam, Ayuz Roa Livnei Lot Tzela. 11 different nations have come together to fight against Israel, and many Mefarshim grapple with identifying the time period in which this event took place. When did all of these nations coexist and unite in an attack against Israel? Some conclude that the Mizmor does not describe a single historical event, but rather serves as a prototype, a timeless prayer to be recited whenever nations conspire against Israel. It was a tefillah that the Levim, the sons of Asaf, would regularly recite in the Beit HaMikdash, pleading for Hashem's protection against Israel's enemies. The psukim describing hostile nations plotting Israel's destruction reflect an ongoing reality. There have always been and always will be those who scheme to harm Israel and seize its land. According to this perspective, the names of the enemy nations mentioned in the Mizmor are not necessarily referring to specific groups, but are symbolic of Israel's enemies throughout history. The Dat Mikra takes a different approach, arguing that this Mizmor does indeed describe a real historical event, a war that took place at some point in time. Though we may not be able to pinpoint exactly when it happened, that doesn't mean it didn't occur. However, Dat Mikra emphasizes an important principle regarding all of Sefer Tehillim. Klal Gadol, there's an important rule, Shekol Mizmorei Tehillim, every Mizmor of Tehillim, Nemru L'Shatam V'Ledorot. They're meant to be relevant both in the original context and for all future generation. Gam Mizmor Zeh Yafeh Li'Yamer B'Chol Eid Tzara Gedolah L'Yisrael. This Mizmor in particular is especially fitting to recite whenever Israel faces great danger. K'sho'ayvav Mekifim Otam Mikol Eiver U'Mavakshim L'Hashmido, when enemies surround them on all sides and want to destroy them. Throughout history, Jews have turned to this Mizmor in their prayers, as its description of hostile nations conspiring against Israel, unfortunately, remains painfully relevant. In our own times, over the past year and a half, when we witness nations once again forming alliances against Israel, this Mizmor resonates deeply. We fervently pray, Asei lehem ki Midyan, that Hashem should deal with them just as he did with Midyan and Israel's other enemies throughout history. And we go on in the Mizmor, Psukim 10-18, Yud to Yudchet, and in these Psukim, Asaf recalls Hashem's past victories and pleads for similar divine intervention. He calls on Hashem to defeat Israel's enemies in a manner similar to past miraculous victories. In Yotzei Yudbet, Asaf requests that Hashem deal with Israel's enemies as he did with Midian, Sisera, and Yavin in the past. These were victories that occurred during the times of Gideon and Deborah. The enemies should be completely destroyed, just as the Midianim were wiped out in Endor and became like waste on the ground, Hayu Domen La'adama. Furthermore, Asaf asks that the leaders of the enemies suffer the same fate as Orev, Ze'ev, Zevach, and Salmuna, Midiani kings who were defeated and executed by Gideon. Pesukim Yud Gimel to Tetzayin, 13-16, Asaf then asks Hashem to scatter the enemies as wind scatters tumbleweed and straw. Shitemo kegilgal kakash lifnei ruach. This imagery portrays complete disarray and powerlessness. Additionally, the enemies should be burned like a fire. Ke'esh tivar ya'ar u'kilahava t'lehid harim. Should be burned like a fire that ravages a forest and sets mountains ablaze, symbolizing the overwhelming and unstoppable nature of Hashem's judgment. Kein tirdavim pesarecha u'kisfotecha tifalim. He continues by requesting that Hashem chase the enemies with his storm and terrify them with his whirlwind. Asaf davens that these forces of nature, metaphors for Hashem's wrath, would cause confusion and panic among the enemies, making them realize their inevitable defeat. Finally, Psukim Yud Zayin Tidichet Asaf Davins, that the enemies be covered in shame. Yimalei Pneihem Kalon Via Vakshu Shimcha Hashem. Cover them in shame so that we will turn to you and recognize your name, Hashem. Yivoshu V'yibalu Adei Ad. Let them be ashamed and terrified forever. V'yichbaru V'yovedu. Let them be humiliated and wiped out. He davens that they'll be covered in shame so much that they will recognize Hashem's name and turn towards him. The concluding Pasuk Yotet shifts the focus from punishment to universal recognition of Hashem's rule over the world. V'yedu ki atah shimcha Hashem levatcha el yon akol ha'aretz, so that they will know that you, whose name is Hashem, alone are the most high over all the earth. This is the ultimate purpose. Yes, we want there to be no more suffering in the world. Yes, we want to rid the world of evil. But ultimately, the final goal is that Hashem's name should be recognized throughout the world. With this, Asaf concludes his profound philosophical journey, having arrived at a deeper understanding that Hashem's actions are part of a master plan, one that may not always be immediately apparent to us. Through his reflections, Asaf acknowledges that although we may struggle to see the divine purpose in the events of the world, there is an underlying wisdom and order to everything. His tefillah is that in the fullness of time, Hashem's grand design will be revealed in such a way that it will become undeniably clear to all. V'yedu ki atah shimcha Hashem levatcha el yon akol ha'aretz. At that moment, the presence of Hashem will be tangible and undeniable, experienced by all people across the world, uniting them in recognition of his control of the world and the divine plan that has always been unfolding, b'mhira b'yamino, speedily in our days. Thank you for studying Le'iloi Nishmot Helen Moskowitz and Fanny Lehman. Their legendary kindness supported hundreds of World War II Shevi Tapleta. Their profound connection to Tehillim is inspirational to this day, sponsored by their grandchildren Yitzchak and Barbie Lehman Siegel.